Steve Reeve here of Mixed Mornings. If you happen to miss the shows throughout the week, we are going to recap the very, very best of the best every week right here on the Mixed Mornings and More podcast. Get every single daily catch up, get all of our bits and material and all the funnies in between, and you could even be a part of the show, of the podcast. Give us a call any weekday morning, 780-791-1037. Tell us what's on your mind.
Now it's Mixed Mornings and More.
We got to talk about a little hospital bed race fundraiser for the Northern Lights Health Foundation. We were very happy to be a part of it, but let me tell you, our team was first up, one of the first two teams in the heat, and we spilled very hard. We spilled pretty hard onto the pavement there down at the Sny. We thought we had it on lock, but I think what really was locked was one of our wheels, because we started fishtailing like we were steering a forklift. And poor Marty. Marty was our bed bug, a.k.a. the person riding in the hospital bed. There was four of us lads running around the outside of it. And she spilled like the milk. She spilled like the beans. She was just over the edge of that hospital bed. Lickety split. But also, we flipped it back up onto its wheels and finished. Although we finished with one of the longest times of any heat. That's fine. That's fine. We still finished. That's what's most important, right? That's really ultimately what it comes down to. But we did have a lot of fun while we were doing it. We signed our waivers, and so the little tick that I've got in my elbow now after having Marty roll onto me, and as I was trying to save the situation and hold that hospital bed up foolishly, it's doing a little click. It's fine. It'll be okay. We'll muscle through it. But I did notice that two of my teammates just happened to kind of like let go and disappear. Like I literally turned behind me and was like, where did they go? As soon as they saw trouble, as soon as they sensed something wasn't happy, they put their hands up in the air and they walked away from it. Great teammates. But you know what? Ultimately, it was fine because we got it on record that Marty was going to be fine with getting flung off before we even jumped into the race.
I'm ready.
What if we send you flying? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I got a helmet.
Take one for the team, right?
Are you fine with being flung over the side? Yeah. Gotta happen. Well, we hooked you up, Marty. We did it. Babies and airplanes and how there's the kind of the running groan that comes from people who don't have to travel with children who go, ah, a kid on my flight, a kid on my plane. How dare you? But now Japan Airlines is actually pioneering something brand new. When you book in with your flight, I mean, you kind of check which seat you're going to take. I mean, you get the options of whether you want the aisle, whether you want the window. I mean, in most cases, at least, sometimes there's a little extra charge on there to pick the ones that you want. Otherwise, they go, we'll randomly stack you, even if you're traveling in a group. Super fun, airlines. Super fun. Japan Airlines is now saying that when people that are traveling with infants, basically 8 days to 2 years, who's traveling with kids that are 8 days old on a flight? But regardless, they will have to check in which seat the kid is going to be in, and that will be publicly available for anybody else who books their seats in the future. Basically, it's a baby map for the flight, seats. A lot of people are cheering this just as loud as they possibly can, saying, finally. And there's some other folks that are going, hey, hang on a minute. I'm the one that has the kid. I'm the one who has to travel. And great. This is a good option because then it'll keep you grumpy jerks away from my infant child. You're sitting there on the plane and suddenly this just creeps up from right behind you. Would be nice, at least, even if you couldn't choose a different seat, to at least be aware of that and be able to mentally prepare for it. You know what I mean? Because it does seem to just get louder and louder and louder no matter how long your flight is. 30 minutes, 3 hours, 2 days long. It just keeps going and going and going. So I, for one, am actually pretty glad that they put this baby map out here. I think it should be standard across all airlines. Just a simple little added courtesy, making sure everybody's aware of what they're paying for. What do you think, though? We've got a poll online, but you can call or text it in, 780-791-1037. Should notifying other passengers of where the babies are located on the flight be standard practice, or is that just a thing that only a baby would ask for? You might have read the news last week. Keith Urban is confirmed as the headliner for Canada's Grey Cup halftime show. Some are less than impressed that an Australian dude is on stage where a cherished Canadian act could be. But if that's how you feel, shut up. Grey Cup is in Calgary this year, so I could meet Nicole Kidman. It's a very real chance that I will not have you screwing up for me. Gwyneth Paltrow and Brad Falchuk got married just 1 year ago and had decided not to move in together beforehand, or afterwards, for that matter, saying that they do marriage their way. As they celebrated their anniversary on the weekend, it was revealed that they do in fact live together full-time now. I guess they realized that consciously coupling together actually requires conscious effort to do so. And speaking of weddings, Justin and Hailey Bieber are set to walk down the aisle and tie the knot again today. It's time for a second wedding. I didn't get a gift, though, because you don't get gifts for a second wedding, all right? And asking for them is just rude, Justin. You got a lot of money, all right? And that's your daily catch-up. You've got a question, though, for the people.
My question is, how many flights have been diverted because of a baby compared to how many flights are diverted because of an unruly adult?
That's a great question. I totally see what you get, because you hear about it all the time, right? Like, you hear about a flight that had to make an emergency landing because somebody was drunk and disorderly, or somebody post a video exactly from the back of the plane of some weird altercation.
Yeah, unfortunately, a crying baby, yeah, it's annoying, but it was a drunk adult that starts swinging at everybody, so.
And you can see them in the lounge before you even get on the plane, and you're like, then you see them get on the plane, and you go, who let this person through?
Exactly. Anyways, food for thought, my man.
Hey, I appreciate the call. What's your name, man?
It's Doug.
Doug, thanks so much. Have a good day, all right? All right. If you've got thoughts, you can always call or text it in, 780-791-1037. Big thank you, Doug. Big thank you. I've also got the conversation going online with the poll, where the majority of people, but not a staggering majority, are saying, finally. Yes, they want all airlines to adopt this policy, but there's definitely a large, large population of people saying, who is really the baby in this situation? Huh? Huh? Are you getting enough relaxation in your life? It's Mixed Mornings with Steve Reeve, and there's a study that's come out. Small sample size, only 2,000 people polled, but still, a survey that asked people about relaxation. It has a lot to do with how we are able to relax. And one of the stats came in about smartphones specifically, and with interesting side statistics, like they got, for instance, 9 out of 10 people will open up their phone and look at the screen knowing that they didn't get any new notifications or messages, just to open it, just to look at it, just compulsion. That's all it is. Mindless compulsion. And guess what? Guilty! I did that last night, like 3 times in a row before I was just like, stop. Like, there's nothing on there. Unless you're looking for something specific, just leave the phone alone. But they said that 62% of people polled said that they find modern life stressful. I think that that's a low number. This number doesn't surprise me at all, though. 46% of people that were polled wish that smartphones had never been invented to make it easier for them to switch off in general. My question then is, what invention do you wish was never invented? Is it smartphones? I don't know. I kind of like it. And I also kind of think it's like natural progression. We were always going to be getting to this point where we had computers in our pockets. As soon as computers were invented, they were going to get small enough to fit in our pockets. But then, of course, they also had to stream videos. So they had to get bigger so that you didn't have a tiny, tiny screen anymore. I digress. We had some answers. Ryan saying the 5-day work week is something he wishes was never invented. I'm here for it, Ryan. I'm here for it. Danny, unfortunately, sadly, says cigarettes. Says a lot of his family members have succumbed to the bad side of smoking cigarettes. That sucks, Danny. That's a very valid answer, man. Like, there's no joke about that. Nothing funny about that. Gunda, on the other hand, says politicians. Good one. Good one. Grant, with the answer that I knew was coming, but I'm glad it came anyway, Grant. Atomic bombs. Yes. Quite logical answer. Your response makes a lot of sense. What do you wish had never been invented? Ever. Ever.
You're listening to the Mixed Mornings and More podcast from Mix 103.7.
Today's best music.
Big announcement for you today that has to do with the students, and it has to do with the entire school year. Starting off today, Mix 103.7 and Noral Toyota are bringing back Classroom Hero. We want to honor the students out there who are making a difference, helping around the classroom, starting up clubs, being a good friend, even just volunteering and setting that positive example. Teachers, parents, friends, you can nominate students from grades 1 through 12. Anybody you think is worthy of the hero treatment, Mix 103.7 is going to monthly announce the Classroom Hero, get the winner on the air, tell the world of their good works, and also, you know what we're going to do. We're going to deliver some pizza to their class and make it a party as well. Every nomination that we get is going to be eligible for the entire school year, so no need to worry about doing it every single month, but you can start those nominations as of today. All you got to do is hit up the website, mix1037fm.com, and make that nomination. Tell us the story of an amazing student in town that is truly a classroom hero. We're going to shine a light on them. Spooky month upon us. It's October, and I've got the October
film challenge, the horror film challenge, almost ready to go. pardon me. Oh, my goodness. Little bit of a cough today, trying to get through it, but looking at every single day of the month, right from today all the way until the 31st, putting a horror movie in there, whether totally scary, terrifying kind of horror movie or kind of lighter. Like I've got Hocus Pocus in there, for instance, on Halloween Day, because I think that that's, it being a Thursday this year, kind of a perfect movie to put on while you're shelling out candy for all the kids, making it a night for the kids this year. We're going to be partying the weekend before that. Don't worry, as adults. But I've just got a few more movies to plug in there. If you've got an absolute favorite horror film, let me know about it. 780-791-1037. Then I'm going to post this online and see what you guys think. Feel free to modify and change it to your liking. But I'm going to get the baseline, like what I think a really solid full month of horror movies is. My only bone to pick with horror movie watching through the month of October is that Netflix really needs to up their game. I think that they've really kind of like shied away from the holiday-themed films. They do have a hilariously titled category called Netflix and Chills with some good horror movie selections on there, but they really need to get some more of the classics in there. What do you think is the absolute ultimate Halloween horror movie to watch? Tiffany Haddish, she's trying to convince Ellen DeGeneres and everyone watching Ellen's shows to always bake naked. I honestly celebrate this expression of freedom, but I do have one request for you. Just one. If you're going to be baking for me, put some pants on. No one likes a hair in their muffin. I'm just saying. Dakota Johnson, she has launched a new podcast to share stories of sexual violence survivors. It's a very important thing, and I think it's going to be very much worth listening to. Just still waiting for the podcast to start for the survivors of watching or reading 50 Shades of Grey. Sure, it's on the way. Sure, it's coming down the line. That is your daily catch-up for today. Eggnog. The fact that we're now seeing it out on the shelves, just pretty much everywhere you go in the dairy section. It's a small part of it, but they have segmented out part of the dairy section to include the eggnog as of September. I know it's October now, but they've already been around, and we are just far too far away from the holiday season. I'm just saying it. And I got some agreement, like a massive amount of agreement. Some people commenting saying it's so tasty. I love it, but it's coming too soon. It's a December drink, Jewel says. Ashley says, if the expiry date says anything other than December something, they shouldn't even make it yet. I gotta say, I never thought of it on those terms, but I gotta agree. Danny says, I would bathe in the stuff, and I have to agree. One time it hit the shelves September 12th and was gone by December. And see, that's my issue here. Also had Amanda saying, I'm okay with getting it early. Kim agreed, saying, me too. The longer to enjoy it. But I have to ask you, honestly, deeply, is it longer if it comes out early and then disappears early as well? I don't think so. I'd rather have it for the appropriate amount of time at the appropriate time. Pleased as non-eggnog punch this morning to welcome some guests into the studio of the illustrious cast from Lend Me a Tenor, which kicks off the brand new 4-play drama series over at Keanu Theater. It's Hannah Friedhead and Dave Boudelier. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing fantastic.
Wonderful, Steve. Thanks for having us.
Are you guys prepared? Are you ready for show opening this Friday?
Absolutely.
We're so ready. We're so ready and excited.
You guys have been working very hard towards it with the full cast, which is a returning cast of veterans on the Keanu stage.
There's no newbies in this show, to be honest.
No, a cast of eight, and absolutely everybody's been on stage before. You'll recognize every face.
And the faces that and voices that have made you laugh several times before.
Over Most definitely. And over again.
We were also talking about how it was like a little bit of a deliberate choice. First of all, it's the 40th anniversary season on the Keanu stage. Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
It is.
That's a milestone. That's
Absolutely.
Big.
Absolutely. Huge.
That's
Come
important.
On out, Fort McMurray, support theater.
Yeah.
It's not just huge in Fort McMurray, Stan. That's huge everywhere. 40 years of producing live theater is amazing.
Yeah, incredible community theater. And what's really cool is that through social media, there's been a lot of retro posts, right? Some sort of looks back into the past, which has been really, really, really cool to see, because times they are changing, but theater has always been very strong here in Fort McMurray.
It always has.
There could be somebody performing right now whose grandparents also performed on this stage when they were their age.
Oh my goodness, that's true.
5 shows that people have a chance to go check out, right?
Yes, we open this Friday, and then we have shows on Saturday, next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
They're going to have to act fast, as I imagine. The tickets are being eaten up. We're a little bit of a last-minute town, but now that we're the week ahead of time, that's when people are really going to be biting into those seat sales. So,
oh, yeah. Messages are already coming in from people on all forms of social media saying, hey, I'm trying to get tickets for this night in this section, and they're not around. Do you have any strings? I'm like, no. No, I don't.
Cannot. Act fast. Jump on it. This is a play, Lend Me a Tenor, which is a farce. Farce, which I've noticed is a little bit of a departure from the usual schedule, because I often find that Farce has come at the end of the four-play series from Keanu. This one's kicking it off, which means it's a farce. I mean, there's going to be a lot of laughs. I'm guessing a lot of doors on stage, a lot of sight gags.
A lot of doors, a lot of sight gags.
A lot of doors.
Can you tell us a little bit about Lend Me a Tenor, for people who are like, what is this play about? Haven't heard of this before.
Well, picture this, 1930s Cleveland. A well-known American opera company is bringing in the tenor of their generation, direct from Italy, for a one-night performance.
The most famous of all.
Unfortunately, things don't go as planned, and hilarity ensues.
You feel the build of the tension, and then it all just has to come crumbling down.
And the thing with this play as well is it actually received 2 Tony Awards, one for Best Play. So it's an extremely smart farce. Like, there's a lot of silly moments, but the script and the writing is very intelligent and funny
and clever.
So it's everything as chaotic and wild as it gets, it also makes sense.
Yeah.
You understand where the characters are coming from and why things are happening the way they're happening. So you can just sit back and enjoy the ride, because it is a wild ride.
Often labeled one of 2 of the 20th century's best farces, 2 Tony Awards, Best Play and Best Actor. And I'm very privileged to be playing the role of Saunders, who on the Broadway version was actually done by Tony Shalhoub.
Holy cow. That's a big, I mean, I'm a big fan of him. Monk.
Mr. Monk.
House. Yeah, exactly.
Wings.
And Dave does a beautiful job as Mr. Saunders.
This is a big, big role to step into. And
I'm a big guy.
I'm sure that you're, I was going to note the talent, the large quantity of talent, sir.
And if your listeners are fans of hearing me scream at people and pulling my own hair out, then they'll love the show.
Well, keanu.ca/theater is where you can go to get tickets. Hannah and Dave, thank you guys so much for coming in. And I will not be there opening night, but I will be there the night after that on Saturday. I promise you, I'll be laughing loudly from the audience.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're listening to the Mixed Mornings and More podcast from Mix 103.7. Today's best music.
As hockey season kicks off officially with the NHL, there's a certain fan, a super fan you might have heard about, St. Louis Blues fan, Layla Anderson, who got to hold the Stanley Cup, got to touch Lord Stanley's Cup and everything. Like, she's had an amazing, amazing run being this fan and being an inspiration to not just members of the organization at the St. Louis Blues, but just the fans in general, just hockey lovers in general. And she got hers in the end, in a good, good way. Now, she got visited by somebody with a Fort McMurray connection. She got visited by Colton Parayko, who used to be a member of the Fort McMurray Oil Barons. Not just Parayko, though, also Alex Steen of the St. Louis Blues. And they decided to stop by her house and deliver a little something special. She now is the proud owner of an official team ring, Stanley Cup team ring. Because she helped them get to victory is the way that they feel about it. Here's just a little snippet of the audio from the video that the St. Louis Blues posted up on Twitter.
So, you know how much you mean to us, right?
Yes.
And what an inspiration you've been to so many people. So me and Colton are here representing our organization and everybody there. And we have something that we would like you to open right now.
Oh my God.
Mom, hold on. Here, here's an help. You get the first grab. It's a magnet, kind of, so you have to pull a little hard. Okay.
Oh my God.
Pretty cool, huh?
I feel like I shouldn't be touching this
one. I love that. I feel like I shouldn't be touching. I'm just a kid. Don't give a kid something this expensive. What are you doing? She's going to cherish that forever, though. And, mom was there on hand and everything to capture the moment, to be a part of the moment. Truly, truly beautiful, especially for the hockey lovers out there, the fans. It's all about the kids. It's all about the next generation coming up with a love for the sport and a love for the teams and a love for the team building. So, I don't know. Something about the story, not just the Fort McMurray connection, something about it's got some tears jerking all over the place. People are shedding a little one single tear watching the video, and if you want to as well, we've got it shared up for you. Amazing job from Alex Steen, as well as Fort McMurray Oil Baron alum Colton Parayko. Dear heavens, no! Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott are taking a break. How will we go on? The couple of more than 2 years has decided to split, though they will remain in each other's lives with a one-year-old Stormy Webster in the mix. And we all thought those two crazy kids would work it out. You know what they say, though? Couples who do Playboy pictorials together stay... Wait, hang on. No, that doesn't work on either side of it. Moving on. Ryan Tedder of One Republic fame is spreading rumors. He claims that a legendary duo came together on a song for One Republic's upcoming album called Human. None other than Beyonce and Adele. It is a collaboration we've been waiting for since Adele gushed about Beyonce after winning Album of the Year at the 2017 Grammys.
I can't possibly accept this award, and I'm very humbled and I'm very grateful and gracious, but my artist of my life is Beyonce, and this album for me, the Lemonade album, was just so monumental, Beyonce. It was so monumental.
Okay, so that makes me believe that it could possibly happen with the collaboration a whole lot more. And there is sad news in Beyonce's life. Sadly, her father, Matthew Knowles, has revealed that he has been diagnosed with breast cancer, which is unusual, but not, but absolutely possible for men. So we are hoping for the best. That is your daily catch-up. Wednesdays mean something very special here in the Mix studio, and that means Pet of the Week Day with the Wood Buffalo Humane Society. And you guys have brought an interesting animal. Usually we're putting the focus on adoptable animals. Little Raven here is not available for adoption right now.
That's
Can you explain that? Can you tell
us
what's going on?
As of yet. So Raven is currently in medical foster. She's one of our medical cases. I'll put her down to play here. When she first came into our care, Raven had a dislocation in her tail and a lot of pain in her pelvis area, and to the point she wouldn't even walk, and her tail wasn't actually functioning.
Well, she's doing more than walking now,
right?
She's playing.
Yeah. So with medical treatment from our in-house veterinarian and medical staff, as well as living in her current medical foster home, she's recovering, as you can see, and doing some physiotherapy to regain her strength, and hopefully will be available for adoption soon.
Oh, she's so cute. But there is a need for people who are able to give foster care to medical cases like this, sometimes specific cases, right? And I understand it, you guys have had a lot of medical cases in recent time.
That's right. We've kind of had an influx of medical cases over the recent months. And currently, we are in need of a medical foster for a very special dog we have in our care. Her name is Lexi. And you can find out a little bit more about her medical history on our website, fmspca.ca. But Lexi has been at the shelter for a few months, receiving daily medical intervention, but has been cleared now to go to the right foster home by our in-house veterinarian. So what we're doing now is reaching out, hoping that somebody will open their hearts and the right home for Lexi to be able to go into to recover for a little bit longer. She does require a special surgery that we've not been able to book an appointment until another month from now, so we're hoping we can get her into a foster so she doesn't have to spend that month in a cage at the shelter.
Of course, yeah, absolutely, and that's only going to help. It's heartbreaking to hear about, but it's absolutely something that happens and something that you guys deal with a lot. And so, I mean, if people weren't able to give that care, the Isabella Paws Fund is there for emergency cases, right?
Yep, that's right. So the Isabella Paws Fund is what we use to fund those animals that come in need of emergency or immediate medical intervention. That money goes towards making sure that we can give them the best care that they need at that time to give them a second chance.
And of course, there are other fundraisers, events and things going on. For instance, the Masquerade Ball coming up. 85% sold, so tickets are disappearing.
There's not a lot of tickets left. No. You can buy tickets online at our website, so fmspca.ca. You know, the transition to the new name, we're getting there. If you want to buy a table, which is actually like $25 cheaper per person, so tables are $1,500, you need to contact myself or call the shelter directly. We're really excited about that. It's October 26th. Then I'm not guaranteeing, but we might have kittens at the event. So,
well, you're going to have to get a ticket to find out.
That's right. You're going to have to get a ticket to find out.
And also, there's the bus raffle, the diversified bus wrap raffle. Yeah. Two different ones.
So whose pet doesn't want to be a star?
Right.
Right? Don't you want to drive past a diversified bus all the time and see your cat up there?
I do, in fact.
Do you have tickets?
I, you know what? I have not yet. I should. I don't know why I haven't yet. It's just we talk about it week after week.
Every Wednesday, I got to
jump on it.
Every Wednesday.
Do you have tickets with you?
I do. They're down in the
car. Okay. Well, then we'll make it happen today then.
So the Diversified Bus Cap Raffle is actually two different raffles. So there's two different bus caps with diversified buses. And one is an ad for Opt to Adopt, and one is an ad for our PAWS plan, which is monthly giving to the shelter. And your animal could be on that ad.
Perfect. Well, Raven here has, you can tell that she's we took the cone off of her just as she came into the studio. You can tell that she's got some irritation on her tail there and everything, but really a lot of energy, a lot of life in this little critter here.
A lot of energy, and she's, I mean, compared to how she was a few weeks ago when she came to us,
yeah,
she's doing, has an amazing recovery going on.
And we can attribute to that to great care from the shelter, but also she's in foster care right now, yeah, which means that she's getting the best chance possible, which absolutely is fantastic.
And you know, it's the foster situation is one that you, we just ask that you be able to provide, follow instructions as far as the care of those animals, but also be able to assist us in bringing them back to the shelter for their regular medical work.
Yeah.
So those are the big pieces, but you know, I would say the biggest piece about medical foster is just being able to love them and provide them that opportunity to not have to recover in a cage.
Yeah, which is so, so important. So if you're interested at all, even if you just have questions, get in touch. And yes, thank you guys so much for coming by once again.
Thanks, Steve.
We're ready. We're ready to go. It's Justin Shaw joining me once again in the studio. Holy cow. It's only been less than a week since we saw each other last year.
I know.
In the studio.
Crazy.
But this time you want to talk, we want to talk about comedy. There's a comedy show this Saturday with you and Cindy Rivers.
That's correct.
Quite talented and semi-Canadian famous.
Yeah, she's starting to blow up across not just this country, but the country down to the south of us. She's going to LA very soon to be part of a diversity comedy festival put on by Second City. So good job, Cindy. I'm very, very lucky to stand in her shadow this weekend.
It's at Bailey's Pub Saturday 8 p.m. Check it out with Cindy and Justin and the Facebook event and everything if people want to search it up and grab their tickets.
www.facebook.com/ check it out.
Check it out.
Check
it out. So, I wanted to talk to you about comedy in general because sure, I've been to a bit of a workshop, for lack of a better word, that you gave, I should make it clear, about writing comedy.
Yes.
I found it very informative, very fascinating. And it's kind of a thing that's a personalized approach, but there are some certain tips and tricks that might ring true for everybody to at least get started if they're curious about writing comedy.
Yeah, totally.
What would you say? Like broad strokes?
It's totally subjective.
Yes.
It's an art form that is so subjective to the performer and the audience, and I think that's something that's kind of cool about the art of stand-up. Some people might not even call it an art, but I would. But what's interesting to me is I could rattle and preach about like, oh, you got to do it this way. These are the rules to do it this way. I can tell that to someone else and it would not work for them just because it's not genuine to just them as a person.
True. Yeah.
So I don't know. What one of my biggest pieces of advice is just go up and do it because the biggest thing you'll learn is just from you being up there. No one knows what that's like other than you holding the mic and that audience at that given time, and your relationship is yours, and that's something that's not to be too precious about it, but who am I to say this is how it should be done? There's like basic little cleanup tips that anyone can apply. Like if someone were to ask me, it's like, oh, can you give me some advice? It's like, yeah, plant your feet, hold the mic beneath your chin, and try not to pace. just because that can get distracting.
Yeah. And you notice with stand-up comedians that you've seen year after year, like some of them have certain mannerisms that hold true.
Exactly.
And it's just part of just who they are. So it's not necessarily snipping the wings. Yeah. It's just being aware of what you're up to.
And everybody's got their own opinion on how it should go, how it should be. But really, it's a very subjective relationship with the audience. And your material can, some people go on about the political climate, others go on about stories about themselves, others are very very quippy. Stephen Wright is one of my favorites. His work holds up quite timelessly, but he's got just a very dry approach to comedy, which is just definitely fun. So there's a million and one ways to do it, but the only way to really figure out what works for you is to go up and try it.
Say, is there something like an amateur night that people can do that, sign up for weekly in town?
Why, yes, Stephen. there's a bi-weekly open mic here in Fort McMurray, Bailey's Pub, every other Tuesday. We had one just yesterday evening. We'll have another in 2 weeks. It's sign up is at 8 p.m. You go up at 8:30. It's a good supportive room. There's a lot of other comics in town that some of them have been going at it a bit longer than others, but it's just a nice community of people who just want to go up and tell some jokes.
Totally. And as I understand it, like, the community is very important because the stand-up comedy, especially if you were to achieve the level of touring, yeah. it can be a little bit lonely, right? I mean, you're yeah. in hotel room after hotel room in stranger, a room full of stranger after room full of strangers, but then you find a little camaraderie with the other comics.
Yeah, and I find in some comedy environments, I guess, you often find the comedians gravitating to each other just because... While it is a very individual experience, the only one that could even remotely relate to that is someone else who's had their own individual experience, and yeah. you can kind of speak to it through each other.
Interesting how it works that way.
Yeah, it's kind of funky. It's like the island of misfit toys, but I quite like it.
What about cancel culture? What about this kind of? Yeah. I mean, it's not even a new thing, but fairly new kind of observation.
Yeah.
That comedians just can't get away with what they used to anymore.
Yeah, I don't quite know the legitimacy behind it. There are things that I do know, and that's. Social media has made the delivery of communication about 1,000 times quicker. But times change.
People, yeah.
Like a joke that you've told 20 years ago might not hold up now. I don't know if there's any value in retroactively shaming a comedian for something that they've said that long ago. However, if you do bring it to light, the most they can do is take accountability for it and say, yeah, I said that. And that's not cool now, so sorry, but watch me move on and be a better comedian that you can enjoy. So, I don't know, let's not underestimate the value of just saying I'm sorry.
kidding. I mean, I didn't, that's not really what I meant, but I get that you got it that way and that I feel bad about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, intention and impact are not the same, but as time changes... I think comedy should evolve too, and it's an art form, like any art form, really. It shouldn't be stagnant.
Totally.
So I hope there's a willingness to grow as the times change. But I mean, this is not a new thing.
It's an art form that requires risk taking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like a handful of comedians that have stood the test of time from like the 70s or the 80s. But those are like few and far between. Those are like the icons, like the George Carlins, the Richard Pryors, Robin Williams even. But there were other comedians in that time that people just don't talk about just because times change and their time has come.
And perhaps they weren't willing to change.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe yeah. not. I mean, like, it's just evolution.
Same
too.
Joke stopped landing, and they said, "What am I doing this for?"
Yeah,
I feel like I'm two sides of the same, contrary sides of the same coin.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I do believe in the fact that nothing should be off limits in terms of comedy.
Totally.
Because, in the words of Ricky Gervais, comedy is a place that the brain goes to tickle itself, and it's not necessarily a means to offend anybody. But yeah. on the other side of thing, I totally feel that you do have to be accountable, and it's a shared experience with an audience. You're gonna get immediate feedback
yep.
if they're not liking what you're putting down.
It's like a juggling act of feelings almost.
For sure.
Like playing with the sensitivity of what can you talk about, what do you need to talk about. But really, if the audience is thinking more about them having their feelings hurt or feeling called out and not enjoying themselves, then have you not like done the opposite of what
yeah,
you're
yeah.
supposed to do. Like,
and
again,
your calling
is? This is like my opinion too. Most of my material is either about myself or stories about my family growing up. So it's a very subjective thing. Like I don't want to hurt people with my comedy. My approach is punch up. Like I don't want to attack. And it is an attack with this kind of stuff. I don't want to come at any marginalized group that's not edgy to me. Like that's picking on a marginalized group, even in good fun, you're kind of adding to a legacy of like, yeah, everyone else, like there's been generations of this happening long before me. And if people enjoy that, fine, but I'm not like, that's just my personal values. Like I'm not going to go there because it's been done. And also it's not, to me, it's just not kind. That makes me, you said, it's very personal, definitely, right? Makes me a snowflake. So sorry, guys. Winter's coming, though.
Oh my God, you're getting so precious with it, Justin.
I know.
And
I know.
We it's funny. We're talking comedy, and we're getting into like the most serious
side of it. This is supposed to be fun.
How about the laughs this Saturday?
Waka waka. Here, let me do three laps around the studio with my rubber chicken.
Dance monkey dance.
Dance. But it's about having fun. No one wants to get their feelings hurt or anything like that. So Saturday night, if you're down for some good old-fashioned comedy, come to Bailey's Pub. Show starts at 8 p.m. It's me and Cindy Rivers, rock star of Fort McMurray. We're going to give you a great show.
All right. We can't wait for it, man. Thanks so much for coming by.
No, thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Mixed Mornings and More podcast from Mix 103.7.
Today's best music.
This segment previously recorded live during the really, really, really big 50-50 benefiting the United Way.
Well, it's just a little bit chilly this morning, but we've got a very good reason to be out here in the chill. It is the really, really, really big 50-50 draw happening all day today. And, pardon me, supporting the United Way of Wood Buffalo for McMurray. And you can get your tickets at four different locations. We're at the Real Canadian Superstore downtown as well as McDonald Island Park. You've also got the Thickwood Save on Foods and Michelle's Independent Grocer in Timberlea. Cash only. Tickets one for 10. We've got three packs for $20 and even 20 packs for $100. And it's all going to be helping out the United Way when we do the draw, whether the ticket or when the tickets are sold out or at 7 o'clock when we have to do the cutoff. And by 9 p.m. at the latest, we will have this money drawn today. 50% going to a winner, 50% going to the United Way. I'm here with Cecilia of the United Way. Very important to support the United Way because they in turn support so many different organizations. Can you tell us just a little bit more about that? Why we're getting out here in the cold and gathering everybody together to buy these tickets?
Why we're out here this morning is this is part of our annual campaign, and we hope to raise over $5 million this year through the campaign. We currently support 25 member agencies, and we have over 40 programs that help people of all ages in Fort McMurray.
It's in huge. It's an absolutely massive undertaking. People sometimes hear that number, you know, $5 million, you go, what? But we've done it in the past. We're a very giving community, and this is aiming to knock a little bit off of that total as well for the 40th year.
We are the number one donating region in the country per capita. So per capita, we raise more money for United Way than any other region in Canada.
Let's keep it up and make somebody very, very happy with the draw at the end of the day today. Well, Meghan Trainor says that she thinks that her husband, Daryl Sabara, is definitely a serial killer, mostly because he always looks crazy in photos. Missed a lyric there, Meghan. Dear future husband, not killing me might be nice. We've got Robert Pattinson finally speaking up about his upcoming and high-profile role, filling Ben Affleck's bat boots as Batman himself. He says that he has literally no idea how he landed the role, and that makes all of us, Rob. But honestly, looking forward to it. And don't forget, it's October 3rd. That's the day that Aaron Samuels asked Katie what day it was. Never forget. Never forget. And yesterday we wore pink. That's your daily catch-up.
Excited to see you again, man. It is Etienne of the Mosaic Handmade Market. Now, last time I saw you was when the market was on again last year. It's back again as of today and on through the weekend at McDonald Island Park. How you doing?
I'm very excited to be here.
And as I understand it, it's going to be a big weekend full of getting handmade, artisan-created foods, home decor, gifts. We were just talking off the air. Holidays, they're not that close, but close enough.
Close enough. The great thing about this show is that there's literally something for everyone. So if you want to knock off a bunch of names off your Christmas gift list, this is the place to go.
It's all handcrafted, artisan, and Canadian made, right? So like, what's the process like? How do people get involved in that as creators, as vendors?
Yeah, we really pride ourselves on the Canadian handmade aspect. We have a rigorous jurying process, we call it. Oh, yeah. So the
adjudication.
Exactly. The vendors have to apply, and we handpick the very best in a number of different categories to make sure that the experience that the Fort Mac shoppers get is, you know, second to none.
For sure. Yeah, and second to none, and also lots of fun.
Lots of fun.
Because, sure. I mean, it's fun to do the shopping, but you guys always add in, you know, some kind of extras and stuff. Like the selfie wall. People love a selfie wall. Any place to take pictures of themselves. I'm guilty of it, too. But this selfie wall can hook people up with prizes if they come by.
Totally, yeah. We're really excited about this new selfie area that we have this year. It's very Instagrammable. So we want to encourage shoppers to use hashtag #HandmadeLive. And the second you do so, you're automatically entered into a draw for many, many gifts that we have available.
And are there any other giveaways, any other cool thing, like tips and tricks
Oh, absolutely.
People need to know going
absolutely.
In?
Absolutely. Well, when you walk in the door, you get a ballot for prizing. So we have gifts available, and we also have a grand prize of a $250 shopping spree that we're giving away on Sunday.
Not bad. Not bad at all. And like perfect, because you come in on Sunday with the money that's not even yours. You get to buy all kinds of stuff for you and for everybody that you love. It's a fun weekend. It always is. And I'm excited to be there a little bit later on this afternoon and check it out myself. I'll do the pre-shopping and then take my girlfriend tomorrow, because then maybe I can get some stuff that she doesn't know about today, right?
Smart man.
Talking about it on the air doesn't really help me stay secretive about it. But still, that's my strategy.
Very nice.
What else is in store for the weekend?
Well, we have over 80 vendors, and in case people weren't aware of what is available, we have a wide variety of products from, fashion, home decor, to jewelry, your fine crafts, so ceramics and glass, and then toys for the little ones, gourmet food. That's probably our favorite section.
My favorite, too. Yeah, absolutely. You can smell it walking in. So in the field houses in McDonald Allen Park this weekend, kids 17 and under don't need a ticket. They don't need to pay to get in, but just $7 for anybody else, right?
$7 gets you through the door, and that's good for the whole weekend.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, well, that's still great, too, because like, you can leave and come on back or bring people, right?
Anytime.
Yeah, 100%. Well, we're looking forward to it, Etienne, but we have something a little bit strange cooked up here, a little bit of a competition between myself and morning show host of our sister station, 100.5 Cruise FM, just down the hallway. They brought in two mystery boxes full of apparently random crafts, and we are to create something this morning, and you're going to be our judge.
Amazing.
Since you're behind the scenes at the actual the handmade market, the Mosaic Market. I guess we got to dive into it. We'll make a video, we'll post it online so people can see who the champion is.
I love a good mystery box.
You ready for it?
Oh yeah.
All right, okay, we're going to dive into it. At the end of each week, we like to take a look back through the week and gather some of the strangest collections of English words and punctuation that we can find, inspired by the subreddit of the same name. Brand new sentence for you. If rubbing alcohol fixes outside boo-boo, then drinking alcohol fixes inside boo-boo. Text message from unknown source, but I can tell you the response was, Chris, no. Just no. Brand new sentence for you. I want to submerge my entire body in Elmer's glue, then let it dry and shed my form on a jogging trail like a snakeskin. It's a tweet from @TragicAlley here. Well, now you know, if you find a human-sized skin like a snakeskin, it's water-soluble and environmentally friendly. No worries. Brand new sentence. British Columbia woodsman Francis Wharton shot a deer in the late 1960s, but had no serviceable teeth with which to eat it, so he fashioned dentures out of the deer's own teeth and ate it. As a factoid from an unknown source. And in the words of Pickles from Metalocalypse,
that is the most metal thing I ever heard in my whole life. High five.
And that's brand new sentence. Carrie Underwood says that of all of the dozens and dozens and dozens of people working on her Cry Pretty mega tour, it's her son Isaiah, 4 years old, who has the cutest job of all. He's been dubbed the mayor of catering as he rides around on his scooter when people are eating, checking in with everyone. In other news, Carrie Underwood has been arrested under child labor laws. Not really. Ronnie Ortiz, Margot of Jersey Shore infame, has gone on record stating that fans don't get a chance to see his real relationship, and I quote real, with Jen Haley on the show. The show premiered in 2009. It sounds like it took 10 years for Ronnie to understand what reality TV is. And move over, David, after dentist. It's time for Taylor Swift after LASIK. Her mom, Andrea, sneakily sent Jimmy Fallon an at-home recovery clip of Taylor after getting LASIK surgery, getting very upset about a problematic banana, and there is no punchline needed here. Just enjoy.
Yeah, I try to get this
okay,
one.
Can I get the other one for you?
But what do we do with this now?
I'll eat it. It's mine.
But it doesn't have a head.
Honey, it's fine. I don't need a head.
Okay, I'm fine.
Don't. You don't want to cry. Mm-hmm. That's not what you want to do. You don't fall asleep eating a banana, okay?
I'm not asleep. My mind is alive.
Okay.
And that is your daily catch-up. New Joker movie. Preview night was last night, and I got a chance to go check that out. It is the major new film opening up for the week and getting a lot of accolades online. Critics seem to be loving it. Not everybody is loving it, though. Some people are not exactly having a great time with it, but I got to say, I enjoyed it. It was a really masterful film. Unlikely kind of film to be coming from Todd Phillips, the guy who gave us like The Hangover and Road Trip and a bunch of other, you know, kind of more like comedies, like comedy romps. This one... Yeah, you could call it a comedy, but it's not really a comedy. You could call it a comedy in the sense that the Joker thinks his life is a comedy. A tragic, tragic comedy is the thing. And it kind of centers around the not just one bad day, the streak of bad days that one man has that descends him into the depths of whatever parts of the brain he has to access to become Gotham's most notorious and terrifying villain of the entire rogues gallery, of course, the Joker. Totally worthwhile watching. Not sure if it exactly ties into the rest of the DC movies. Maybe it kind of stands alone. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. It's up for interpretation, as are a ton of other things in this movie. But I can tell you, masterful performance from Joaquin Phoenix. And Robert De Niro's great as well. He kind of is like a recurring character, as he's the Johnny Carson-esque host of a late-night TV show, Murray Williams. Just fantastic role.
Murray, one small thing.
Yeah.
When you bring me out, can you introduce me as Joker?
Oh, you must see it. It's worthwhile. And let me know what you think about it as well. Of course, you can always call or text and get in touch. 780-791-1037. Put a smile on your face.
Thanks for listening to the Mixed Mornings and More podcast.
We've got a new episode for you every Friday. Subscribe now on iTunes or listen on your home smart speaker.
And find everything at mix1037fm.com.